are now listening to an inspirational message from the Greater Shallow Missionary Baptist Church, where Dr. Michael Wesley Sr. is pastor. Please join the service in progress.
We're always aware of your wonderful nature, who you are, the maker, the creator, the giver and sustainer of life, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we're able to come today on the basis of our association with your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We come with thanksgiving in our hearts, and we come acknowledging the weakness that's in our life as human. Not necessarily because there was anything that we were aware that we did, but we are aware of things too. We're aware of thoughts, we're aware of feelings, we're aware of behaviors that have betrayed us, not allowed us to represent you in the ways that we would like. So we ask for your mercy. We come today, Lord, acknowledging you, thanking you, thanking you for every good and perfect gift we receive, thanking you for our very lives. Thank you for including us in this work and in this worship. Thank you for blessing us. We realize you didn't have to do it, but you have done it. You allowed us to be included. God, we today declare who we are in you. We're your sons. We're your daughters. We're saved. We're blood washed. We're lenders and not borrowers. We're the head and not the tail. We can do what you say we can do. We can have what you say we can have. And we can be who you said we can be. Now, Lord, I pray that you would lift your human again out of self. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. Speak to us through us in this moment of sharing, and bless the word now. It's in our mouth and the meditation of our heart, that it may be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. We offer praise. We talked about that a little bit last time as we looked at the 118th number of the psalm. And I told you last week I've been kind of hanging out in the psalms. So if you heard the message on last Sunday, then I certainly want you to go and listen to what we shared on Wednesday of this past week as we concluded. Went a little further with that 118th number of the psalm. But this morning, as we have continued to camp out in the psalms, we move to the next psalm, the 119th number of the psalm. And I want to take up a portion of that for our time this morning, verses 105 through 112. Those verses are coming to us this morning in your hearing. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I have performed it that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I'm afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I err not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. This is the word of God for the people of God. I want to put a tag on this text this morning. I want to put all the emphasis on God. I want to talk about the clarifying power of the word. The clarifying power of the word. This morning I was doing my, well, it was really yesterday when I was doing my weekly chores around the house. And I went outside and I have work to do out there. I have a little small swimming pool. And I was cleaning it out. And after I cleaned it out, I began to put chemicals in it. And one of the chemicals that I put in it is called a clarifier. And what a clarifier does, it takes away the dullness or the murkiness of the water, and it makes it clear so that you can see really good through it. And it also allows the water to sparkle. So when the sun shines on it, it gives it its best. In other words, the clarifier makes the water even more beautiful. And I thought about that. And as I thought about that, I thought about this text that we were going to consider this morning. That there is a clarifier that helps us to understand the nature of God, to understand who it is that we are dealing with. Because God is invisible and you can't see him, and God is not present and you can't touch him, and God is not always audible, that you can have the direct conversation where you are hearing an audible voice back. We sometimes need a clarifier, something that will help us see clearer and allow his nature to come through in such a way that we cannot miss and bring out the best in him. And the clarifier is the Word of God, the Scriptures. The Scriptures then provide for you and I as believers the clarifying power of who God is. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Right in the center of the Bible or the Word of God is this 119th number of the Psalm. It is, some have argued that the 118th number of the Psalm is right in the epicenter, is the direct center, that there are 494 verses of Scripture before the 118th number of the Psalm. There are 594 verses after the 94th number, of the 118th number of the Psalm. So they are saying that's the middle. But I came to say that it doesn't matter. The 119th number of the Psalm is the longest of the Psalm. It's the longest chapter in all of the Bible. There are 176 or 178 verses in this particular passage of Scripture. And sometimes, because that chapter is so long, people tend not to read it, or they skip through it or skim through it. But I came today to lift out a portion of it, because every verse in this chapter or in this number of the Psalm speaks about God's Word. Sometimes the writer says it's God's Word. Sometimes he calls it God's statutes. Sometimes he calls it God's judgments. Sometimes he calls it God's testimonies. Sometimes he calls it God's precepts. Sometimes he calls it God's decrees. Or sometimes he even calls it God's laws. But all of those terms are the same, and they refer to the Word of God. Now, who wrote this psalm? Well, theologians have differed on who wrote the psalm. You know, many believe that David wrote the psalm, because David is attributed to writing many of the psalms. But there are so many that think it may not have been David this time. There's some that even think it may have been Daniel. But the vast majority of theologians believe that it may have been written by a man named Ezra. Ezra was a scribe. He was a teacher of the law. And his whole life was dedicated to teaching. And he was living during the time of the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem, and when the children of Israel had returned from their captivity in Babylon, and they needed someone who could help them understand who this God is. And Ezra committed his whole life to teaching the word of God. So whoever the writer is today, it's not so much about him and about his circumstances. In the early parts of this 119th number of the Psalm, there are some parallel passages that would suggest that the writer was talking about himself through his challenges. But the meat of this passage and the meat of the 119th number of the Psalm deals with shining the light on God's word. There are truths that you and I can know about God's word. And these truths is what we want to focus on today, because this word helps us. The overall meaning of this 119th number of the Psalm focuses on the truth of God's word, and it encourages us through every generation to stay close and to focus on God's word. No matter what comes, no matter what goes, no matter what changes in the world, we are to focus on the word of God, because there we'll get clarity about what's going on. And one of the things that I love about this passage is quoted by Martin Luther. I'm not talking about Martin Luther King Jr. now. I'm talking about the old man, Martin Luther, who broke away from the Catholic Church and nailed those 95 theses on the door of the church there in Germany, Switzerland. Martin Luther said, "The Bible has teeth because it speaks to me." He said, "The Bible has hands because it holds me. The Bible is neither ancient nor modern. The Bible is eternal." And that's what I want to help us to see today. There are several factors here today that I think would bless us if we would hear it. Some of you who may be familiar with the Old Testament remember when the children of Israel were coming out of the land of Egypt and they were in the wilderness as they were walking, that God led them, the Bible say, as a pillar by day or a cloud by day. God was so merciful that he would put a cloud over them so that the sun would not scorch them as they moved through the day. And yet it was a guiding presence. And at night, that cloud is said to have turned into a pillar of fire. The point is, whether day or night, the children of Israel were able to see where they were going because they had God's guidance. That, my brothers and sisters, is my point for the message today. The word of God gives us guidance. That's what the text brings to our attention. Each one of these verses in all the 178 verses all begin with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And there are 8 verses in each one of these stanzas. So this is an acrostic poem in a real sense, if we would break it down in its didactic dialect as to what it is. But for you and I today, it's instruction. And the first instruction, there are 6 things or 7 things here that I want us to gain from this today. First, I want you to know the Bible will clarify for you the way you should go in your life. The second thing I want you to understand today, and we're going to see it in the text, the Bible clarifies for us the kind of righteous behavior that we should demonstrate. The third thing the Bible brings to our understanding, it sheds light on our suffering. And everybody is going through some measure of suffering today. The Bible also gives clarity and helps us to understand what is right worship. Fifth thing that this Bible text gives us today is to expose to us the dangers of life. And then number 6, it helps us to understand, yes, we have enemies. But the 7th thing that we have, and it's all exposed in our text for the morning, is that we have a wonderful heritage. And that wonderful heritage is the Word of God. So join me now as we look at the first clarifying point. The first thing the Bible, the psalmist, helps us to understand is the way we should go. Or to put it another way, how we should live. Listen to what he says. He said, thy word, he's talking about the Word of God, is a lamp to my foot and a light to my path. In other words, when we have God's word shines the light right on our every step so that we don't stumble, whether it's day or whether it's night. The word is a lamp to our feet. And then it casts a light out in front of us to show us the path we're to go on. A couple of years ago, I took a little sabbatical, and I went down to Florida. And I went down to Florida for several days, several weeks, and I was walking along the beach one day. And the light, the sunlight, shone on my path. I mean, God, the sun just, I mean, all of those people that were there, the light came right to me. And every step that I took, when I looked down, I could see clearly the light of where I was going. And then it shined out deeper in front of me to show me the path that I should walk. And in that moment, God spoke to me. God said, that's exactly what I want to do. I want to show you how to walk. I want to show you which way to go. And if you would follow my word would be a lamp to your foot and be a light to your path. I mean, we don't know where to go in this world. We don't know how to live. We don't know what's going to happen from day to day. And we can't make it on our own. I just don't understand how people think that they can live a satisfying life without the guiding principle of the Word of God. So this writer, whether it's Ezra, whether it was Daniel, whether it was David, it doesn't matter. He's saying that God's Word will be the light for your foot and the light for your path. To me, that's good news. I did a funeral yesterday, and I was, after the funeral was over at the cemetery, I went by to visit the grave of my brother. And I thought, man, I shook my head, man, and I thought about all of those people out there. I said, all of them are going to get up one day. Some are going to get up to eternal life with Jesus, and some are going to get up to damnation everlasting. And it's all based upon who was the guide in their life. And I don't know about you. I want the Lord to lead me. There's a second thing here that I want you to understand. There's so many people that don't know anything about the Word of God. They don't even want to hear it. They don't even want to believe it. But the Bible gives us these principles, and the Bible gives us these priorities. The Bible tells us that we are to exist to glorify God. You don't get that from anywhere else. The Bible tells us that we are to believe and to obey Him. The Bible tells us that we are to tell others about the gospel truth that we ourselves have come to know. The Bible tells us that it is the standard through which we are to conform our life. The Bible tells us that we are to denounce our sins and to turn in the way of righteousness. How you know? Look at the second verse, 106. The second verse says, and I'm going to use a different translation than King James now. He said, I've taken an oath and I have confirmed it that I will follow your righteous laws. In other words, the second principle here is the Word of God shows us how to live with righteous behavior. Now, it's just not in me. You know, we're all born in sin. We're shaped in iniquity. You have to learn righteousness. You have to learn how to think right and to do right and to treat people right. And that's why you can know when you have been growing in the Word. Because you know, you come across situations that on another year, another time, in another place, you would have told somebody a different thing. But because you have learned righteous behavior from the Word of God, you now are a different person. The Bible teaches us God's righteousness. It teaches us what we ought to do. It teaches us how we are to function. It teaches us how we are to live. It teaches us which way we are to go. The Bible tells us here the difference between right and wrong. And I know we have conscience. And conscience, I thank God for conscience. How many know conscience is valuable? Conscience is a byproduct of the Holy Spirit. Because when you do something wrong, conscience convicts you. Now, if you ever get to the point that you can do wrong and you have no guilt feeling coming as a result of that, you're in trouble. The book of Paul writes about that in the book of Romans in chapter 1 and in chapter 2 and chapter 3. He talks about God will turn you over to a reprobate mind, where your conscience, it can be seared as if it's a hot iron. So there's no sensitivity to right behavior and wrong. But I think that this book right here helps us to understand. This man said, look, God, I've tried your word. And I've tried your word, and I've taken an oath. I've sworn that I want to follow your word, because I found out through the confirmation of testing it against every other system in life that your word is what leads me right. I remember, man, when I was first testing the Holy Spirit years ago, when I was first being called into the ministry, I had an argument with God. I said, God, how can I know it's you? How can I know inside of me that it's you? And the voice of God began, the Holy Spirit began to speak. He said, because I'm going to always tell you what's right. And you do know you have a voice box inside of you, don't you? You have two of them. Whenever you do something, whenever you have a choice to make, one voice will speak to you and tell you everything you want to hear. That's not the voice of God. The other voice will just simply say, you know that's not yours, or you know that's not right. Somebody looking at me funny right now, let me help you understand. If there was $100 on the floor right under you right now, one voice would say, get that money. You know you're broke. You know you don't get paid the next week. Or you haven't gotten your stimulus check yet, or your unemployment haven't started yet. Get that money. Because you know you need some gas. You know you need some food. You know you need whatever. That voice will feed you everything. But that's not the voice of God. The voice of God is the still small voice, the second voice that was said, but you know it's not yours. So you can learn right behavior. And this psalmist said, I have sworn, I've taken an oath, because I've tested your word. And I found that your word is what gives me right guidance. Clarifies for us how we come to know. The third thing that the psalmist helps us to see in this passage here, he's talking in verse 107 about suffering. He said in the New International Version translation, he says very clearly, I've suffered much. And I think if there's any testimony that comes out of this pandemic for people all around the world is, I've suffered much. Someone sent me a funny, you look something. I mean, I know people have had nothing to do, so they've been making up a lot of stuff. So somebody sent me one, said, listen, this is a message to casinos. It hurts to lose money, doesn't it? So people are just making up stuff. But it's true. Everybody has suffered something as a result of this pandemic. People have suffered physically. Others have suffered emotionally. Many have suffered financially, relationally, every kind of way human beings. This world cannot be the same again. We can't do things the same way as a result of this time. I don't even know, even when we return to church, whether or not we'll be able to hug one another or shake each other's hand. I think we all going to end up being Japanese or Chinese. We're going to be bowing our heads toward one another. Because we have suffered. And because we don't want to suffer further. But I think the Bible gives us an understanding of suffering to help us to understand that all suffering is not because you have done wrong, that some suffering comes because God is cleansing. And I think we've all had to go through a process because God has been cleansing this world, cleansing the systems. And I thought it was a little ironic that the president the other day thought about cleansing people and curing people of the virus by injecting them with cleansers. I said, Lord, have mercy. Listen, you need somebody to give you some clarity. The word of God will give you the clarity. The word of God helps us to understand, yes, you will go through something. In every life, some rain must fall. God allows the rain to shine, to fall on the good as well as the just as well as the unjust. And he allows the sun to shine on the just as well as the unjust. So when God brings something, he doesn't discriminate. And so in this text, this context, this writer is trying to help us to understand that although we go through suffering, and it may be really bad for a while, it's also God's tutorial process to bring us to a clearer understanding of who he is. Listen, in spite of this backdrop of all of the darkness, stands Almighty God. You could not know how bad he is unless you saw how evil things can be. And the greater the evil, the more powerful the revelation of God is. So the Bible helps us to understand suffering in the sense that God knows it, he knows how long to allow it, and then he comes in and delivers us from it. The fourth principle that's in this 119th number of the Psalm is the clarity that we need on what is right worship. Now look at verse 108. Listen what verse 108 declares for us. I'm put my eyes on a minute here. He says, "Except I beseech thee the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgment." That is those two concepts right there. The freewill offering of my mouth. What is that? That's praise. And the teaching of the word of God, the teaching of the statutes, the laws. Do you know why people come to church? People come to church because they want to praise the Lord. And people want to be taught the word of God. So when we stand, we don't take a text from the newspaper. We don't take a text from science book. We take the text from the word of God so that the word of God can clarify to us and for us what we need to understand. I think that we need to understand again what true worship is. I think God has had to shut down the church because God had to put in check some of the clown shows and some of the aggravating things. I mean, I know that it had to have been nauseating to God to see some of the things that was going on in the name of worship. Worship is about the offering of the lip, and the offering of the lip comes from the clarification and the touching of the heart. When God has touched the heart, the lip will speak. And that lip will speak whether it's proclamation of truth or whether it's singing with a beautiful song. There's a difference between talent and gift. You get talent in first birth. You get that from your mama now. But giftedness comes in second birth. That comes from your relationship with the Lord and the spiritual gifts that God brings into your life. And so when we put those two together, if you've ever been to church and there have been authentic worship and you've been able to join in with the words out of your mouth, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, that's worship. Worship doesn't, I mean, it helps in the context of a building, but it's not limited to a building. The children of Israel had to learn that when they were carried away from Jerusalem and carried to Babylon. In the 139th number of the psalm, they were sitting there, and one of the Babylonians came to them and said, sing us one of those songs, you Jewish people. And they went, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange place? But yes, they could. See, our ancestors taught us that they could sing songs, the Lord's song, in a strange place. They put them in the hulls of slave ships and brought them to this country, but they were still able to sing the Lord's song. Because worship is not limited to a location. And how many know that you've been able to worship even though you have not been necessarily inside of the house of God? It's not about where you are. It's about what comes out of here. What comes out of your heart. And what comes out of your mouth. And when it's brought together with the teaching of the Word of God. But you know, there's so many people that don't know anything about the Word of God. There are people that are not growing. There was a poll, the Gallup poll, that was given as a general rule to the Americans about the Bible. And this is what the Gallup poll found out. That very few people knew who wrote the Sermon on the Mount or what it was about. Very few people could even name the four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, just in case you were wondering. Not many people could even name not one of the Ten Commandments. 77% of Christian people say that man is basically good, that he has a good nature, and overlooking altogether the doctrine of sin and the corruption of the human being. Listen, y'all, ladies and gentlemen, I know you like to be thought of as being wonderful, and you are in that context, but in the sight of God, we're all depraved, and we need a Savior. And you hear that when you come in contact with the Word of God. 97% of people say that God will save us if we do our best. How many know you can do your best and you're still going to come short? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's like we were down at Gulf Shores and we were going to get a running start, and we were going to jump across the Gulf of Mexico to the islands over there. Now, you might can get a running start. You might can stand on the beach, but nobody is going to be able to jump that far. Everybody is going to fall short, and we all come short of the standard of God's righteousness. That's why you need the Bible, the clarifying truth that the Bible would give concerning worship. Lord, I come to you just as I am, without one plea, but thy blood was shed for me. That's more worship in that than in what kind of step I'm going to cut. We mess people up because we have entertained people for too long. And God shed it all down so that we can think about what real worship might look like again. 35% of the people in Barna's survey said that Jesus is not even necessary for salvation. Well, let me tell you something. In hell, you're going to lift up your eyes. Jesus said very clearly in the Word, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So listening to all the other stuff, if you want the truth, then let it be clarified from the Word of God as to what worship really is. And so I want you to see there are elements of worship. Singing is an element. Praying is an element. Giving is an element. Communion is an element. But it comes out of the heart. That's the difference. And that's what this writer is conveying. Number five, let me move. So I'll be there in just a minute. The fifth thing that the psalmist clarifies for us are the dangers of this life. Look at verse 109. Again, I want to go back now to NIV version. He says, my soul and my hands constantly are constantly in my hand. But if you look at it, if you look at the translation of this, the translation said, I'm always taking my life in my own hands. And how many know that presents danger? It's the truth. I mean, you know, you can know the word of God. You can know what God's word is. But there are, to save your life, there are times when you want to take control of your own life. And what we say is, God, I hear what you're saying. I know what you're saying, but this is what I'm going to do. And every time we take our lives in our hand, we put ourselves in danger. We put ourselves in danger. Man, my heart was broken in the city of Birmingham this week as I learned of a shooting that took place the other day out in North Birmingham. A police officer was shot and a man was killed. When I heard that, I thought to myself, I said, neither one of those men woke up this morning or that morning thinking that that would be what would happen. This man did not wake up that morning thinking, I'm going to shoot somebody. Or this man, other man didn't wake up thinking, well, this is the day that I'm going to die. But what he did ultimately, as the narrative unfolds, and I want to apologize to any family members because I'm not trying to decide the merits of the case, and I don't know the facts because it wasn't there, but just what was reported. What was reported was that the man left out of the restaurant because he did not want to pay. He got angry for some reason. And the officer went outside behind him. And when the officer went outside behind him, I guess the man apparently got to his car and he shot at the officer. And the officer returned the fire and the man was dead. But listen at this, what I thought of myself, I said, well, I don't know, maybe it was $10 for a breakfast meal. But when you take your life in your hand, you see the danger you put yourself in. Sometimes our anger would betray us. Sometimes our attitude can betray us. Sometimes the pathways that we take on our own without the direction of God will betray us. It can lead us. That Satan has opposed the work of God from the beginning. And he tees us up to think that we're in charge and that we can do what we want to do. As a matter of fact, there's another commercial that they be singing my favorite little old song. This commercial down in Florida, I think it's a Heineken beer commercial. It's your thing. Do what you want to do. Well, he goes on to say, I can't tell you. Y'all know it. Who to sock it to? You know, in other words, that's the lie that has been put in our hearts that this is your life. And you can do with it whatever you want to do, and can't nobody tell you what to do with it, who to sock it to. And what I'm saying, what the psalmist clarified for us, is every time we take our life in our hand, we put ourselves in danger. Because we don't know what to do. We don't know which way to go. We don't know what's going to happen. And we don't know how to get ourselves out of things that do happen. And so I want you to apply that you really put yourself in spiritual danger when you decide that you don't need the word of God. When you decide that you get up in the morning and you just go through the day and you don't have to think about God and you don't need to read his word and you don't need to hear what God is saying or anything like that, you put yourself in spiritual danger. And then look at verse 110. Because in the 110th verse of this 119th number of the psalm, he speaks about enemies. And we all can relate to this. We all can relate to this verse right here. We really can. Look at what the 110th verse say. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I've erred not from thy precepts. Man, how many know that the devil is our natural enemy? And the devil is so powerful, he's not more powerful than God, but he's more powerful than human beings are. And he has many minions, a little imps, a little demonic forces. And he puts them in your way to to lay a snare for you. Yes, he does. And especially when you try to do what's right. Especially when you decide that you want to do what's good and what's right. I don't care what it is. You can get up in the morning and you can say, this is going to be the day that I'm going to praise God all day. And your husband will get up or your wife will get up and say something ugly to you. And before you even get going, you're already in an argument. Or your children will trip you up. They'll throw something stupid at you. Or if you get out in the traffic, somebody will cut in front of you. And that gospel song that you were singing changes right quick. And I promise you, when you go and you're trying to tell people what's right and trying to do what's right, they're going to always be hideous enemies. They're always going to be that. And what we got to learn to do, we've got to learn, because the Bible clarifies it, that you have to build it into your understanding. I know you like to think that everybody just love you and everybody want to be your friend and everybody just adore you. Stop tripping and understand that the devil does not like you. And because he does not like you, because you are a child of God, he's going to try to lay a trap or put something in your path to trip you up. And as soon as you trip up, as soon as you say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, behave in the wrong way, then the devil gets in your ear. I thought you were a Christian. I thought you were a child of God. People of God don't act like that. People of God don't talk like that. And what he's trying to do is to make you feel bad. He does a good job on a lot of people. But you got to learn how to handle him. The Bible clarifies that he's real. And that's, see, amazingly, what's wrong today? What's wrong today? Why are we wearing masks? Why are we wearing gloves? Because we're trying to deal with an enemy that you can't see. And it's the same truth in the realm of the spirit world. And hear people running around here every day like they got it together and you can't even see what you're dealing with. You're dealing with evil, with principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. How do you know, Pastor? Because the Word of God clarifies that for us. The Word of God helps us to know who we're dealing with and how we're dealing with and why we're opposed on every turn and why we have so many challenges and why suffering comes. It's because God's word has given us clarity. But I'm glad to know today that that's not all. That the Bible in this 119th number of the Psalm, verses 105, through 112, what we have been looking at, has already told us the Bible will tell you which way to go. Word is a lamp to my feet, light to my path. The Bible will tell you how to develop right behavior by judging the Word of God and understanding the clarity of God's truth will give you the behavior that you need. The Word of God helps you understand in this life you're going to suffer. So no matter who you are, you're going to suffer. You're going to go through something. The Word of God clarifies these things. And it clarifies these things for our understanding. Helps us to know what right worship is. Word of God helps us to know that we put our lives in danger when we take our life in our own hand. The Word of God helps us to know that we're going to have enemies. Not because you are so different or you so whatever, but because you have an enemy. God has an enemy. His name is Satan, Lucifer. And he opposes the work of God. And he's going to oppose you. And the Bible clarifies one more thing for us. In this 111th verse, this writer says, thy testimonies have I taken, here it is, as a heritage forever. For they are the rejoicing of my heart. Then in verse 112, he said, I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. What does the Word of God clarify? It clarifies that we have a heritage. Now, a heritage usually is something that you don't receive. An inheritance, should I say, is something that you receive after the death of someone. But a heritage is a description of who you are and what you already possess. You don't have to wait till someone die, even though someone did die. But your heritage is the whole treasury of the Word of God. And when we recognize that we have a treasury in this word, this is our heritage. And this is what ultimately produces joy and rejoicing in my heart. How does it do so? Because when trouble comes, I hear the word of God say, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. That's my heritage. When I find out that I got enemies and they are laying traps for me, then I gain from my heritage. I understand that no weapon formed against me can prosper. And every tongue that rises against me is defeated in judgment. This is the heritage of them that love God. I find out that when I'm looking for love, it's in there. It's in the book. When I'm looking for joy, it's in there. When I'm looking for peace, it's in there. When I'm looking for comfort, it's in there. When I'm looking for guidance, it's in there. When I'm looking for direction, it's in there. Whatever I need when I'm lonely, I have a heritage in the word that I hear God's voice saying, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. When I'm afraid and trembling, I hear the word of God assuring me that I have peace with God. And because I have peace with God, I now have the peace of God. It's my heritage. No one gave that to me, and no one can take it away. So my prayer every day now is, Lord, order my steps in your word. Lead me. Guide me every day. Send your anointing. Father, I pray, order my steps in your word. In your word, Lord. In your word. You know, when my mother went to be with the Lord, there was no arguments among my siblings and I about her inheritance. But we all could share in her heritage. Her heritage was that of faith. And the day that she went, and the day that I preached the funeral, I talk about mom's pearls. Her faith, her love, greatest of these. Faith, hope, and love, greatest of those that I still have. I walk away every day with her love, with the love of God. I walk every day with the faith that she deposited on me. And now I have faith in God myself. I walk with hope in my heart because I receive the heritage that she gave. And I want you to know today, you can have it today, wherever you are. You can have what the Lord has given. You can be who God say you can be. You can do what God say you can do. You can have what God says you can have. If you only understand the power, the clarifying power that's in this word. So if you're praying today, pray, Lord, order my steps. Somebody might be praying at home. Somebody might not even be a Christian. And you want to be a Christian right where you are. You can pray. You can say, Lord God, forgive me of my sin. Just tell him, forgive me right where you are. Say, I know I haven't done everything right. I haven't spoken right. Haven't lived right. Haven't talked right. But according to the clarity in your word, I believe you had a son whose name is Jesus, who came to the earth, who died on the cross, who was raised the third day, and you said in his word that if I believe in him, I could have eternal life. So today, God, I'm asking you to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Help me to become the man, the woman, the boy, the girl you want me to be. I believe in Jesus. Now you got to go a step further. You got to find a Bible-believing church, Bible preaching church that you can become a part of. And if you'd like to become a part of the Greater Shiloh family, then you can call the number that you might see scrolling across. And you can call that number, and someone will contact you, and someone will talk with you and help you to understand what you need to know. Somebody just may want to pray. Somebody might need to say, Lord, I need more of your word. I need more understanding of your word. Call the prayer line. Call the counseling line. Those are tools that we put there to help you at this point. And for those of you who know the power of the word of God, then your song ought to be, order my steps. Order my steps. Order my steps. Whatever your need is, we're here for you today. Doors open. Doors of the church open.
In your word, dear Lord, lead me, guide me every day. Send your anointing, Father, I pray. Order my steps in your word. Please order my steps in your word.
Time.
that's what you ought to want God to do, is to order your steps in His Word. The Word of God has power. The Word of God needs to be clarified to you. And that's why we worship. That's why we come. So that the Word of God can be explained to you and you can grow in your daily walk. You need to take a portion of this every day as a diet. What you feed yourself, that's what you become. When you feed upon the Word, you become a Word man or a Word woman. When you take your Word, God's Word, there's a verse in Proverbs that says, pleasant words are as honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bone. Writer Ezekiel, the Old Testament prophet, said, Lord, I tasted your Word, and it was like honey to me. David, the psalmist, said in the 34th number of the psalm, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The Word of God is what we need. In these difficult and changing and trying times, the Word of God will show you which way to go or how to live your life. The Word of God will show you the right behavior that you need to develop in your life. The Word of God will give you clarity on the suffering, the challenges that you go through in your life. The Word of God will give you an understanding of the danger of, should I say, of the right worship. What is right worship? And then it will show you the danger when you take your life in your own hand. The Word of God will give you clarity about enemies and who they are and where they come from and why they are there. And the Word of God will help you to know that you have a heritage. Inheritance, but you have a heritage. And if you take it in, you'll be a proud man or woman and you'll live a great life according to God's eternal word.
Hope you enjoyed the broadcast. You have been listening to a message from the Greater Shallow Missionary Baptist Church, where we are reaching the world for Christ, located at 2135 Jefferson Avenue Southwest, Birmingham, Alabama 35211. For a copy of a CD or DVD, you can reach us at 205-925-5972 or visit us on the web at www.greatershallow.org for an uplifting message. Please join us for the next broadcast.